I understand some are still not getting audio on, see, is did Wayne come in the turbo? I don't see him in turbo, Fran. Oh, he's in the text chat room, maybe, yeah. Yeah, if you're, just refresh my website. Like, whatever page you go to get into the WTPR or to get into the Join Us, refresh it, because some of them are going to redirect. Because I found the issue, and it was the, you know, the monthly cost of Icecast server. I after Sabbath tonight, I'm going to just click the button and cancel that service. And you'll notice, especially those of you that are already listening on the text chat, the lag is a lot lower. It used to be 15 to 20 seconds. Now it's 3 to 5 because we're no longer running through the Icecast server to bounce back to ourselves in our own chat room to hear. Now it's going directly through my server, but there's going to be a little bit of lag because the audio chat server and the text chat server are two separate boxes, and so there is going to be, you know, 3 to 5 second lag sometimes, which is fine. And it's a lot better than sitting there waiting 20 seconds for someone to answer a question, because sometimes you think they didn't hear you. And so, but yeah, just refresh. If you're listening to me on, like, say, on YouTube, because you can't figure out how to listen on WTPR, just go back to the WTPR page and hit the F5 on your keyboard or refresh the screen with that little circle arrow. Or just shut your browser down and start it back up, you know. And if you're using Opera, like I do, or Brave, like I occasionally do, Brave is another browser, or even Edge, depending upon some of the stuff you got running in the background, those browsers won't work with the player for some goofy reason. I think it's an SSL thing, even though I do have security on the page. So if that happens and you go and you refresh and you still hit the play button, you still don't hear nothing, right underneath the play button it says click here if the play button doesn't work or something like that. I can't remember what I said. Click there. It'll jump you clean outside the page where I got the JavaScripting and all that stuff to make the play button work. It'll jump you outside there and put you straight into whatever player is built into your browser, and then it will work. I've tested it on all my browsers. It does work. And so then you just go back to the text chat and, like normal, just, you know, text people if you want, or just sit there and listen. Either way, it doesn't matter. But it is fixed now. And for those of you in the text chat, like a straight jump to it, I had to move the server to prevent issues. The audio chat server, the Monday or the Sunday and the Thursday server, no, that stays where it's at. That's fine. I might change the player. But I might not, too, because the one that's being used now is one of those jump-out players where it won't cause issue. But this player I had to build using some other software, which was fine because I paid for the software, so it's good. And so it should work. But, yeah, if you just refresh, everything will go fine. But like you'd see on top of the text chat, there is a link, and I'll put it in YouTube right now. This bypasses everything and goes to a page that's on a different section on my server that will bring you into an area to where it'll look just like it did before, only it's got a blue background. And you hit the play button, it should work. If you got one of them goofy browsers, click the link under the play button, then you're in. Either way, it'll work fine. So I guess we'll get. This is what we got to deal with, you know. I don't know what's going on with the Icecast. You know, it's only $7 a month. We were doing Icecast and Shoutcast. I shut down Shoutcast a couple of weeks ago. So I'll be shutting down Icecast because we don't need it. We got enough people visiting us during the week. We don't need to go onto Icecast anymore because they don't advertise anyway. You pay $7 a month and all you're getting is a tunnel, and that slows you down too. So I don't want to do that no more. We're back to doing it with our own servers, and so everything's good. Okay, so won't have to do this next week because, you know, everybody should be used to it by then. Browsers will naturally just clear out their cache within a couple days, sometimes within a day, like Opera. I don't know why they do that, especially when you work on websites and you want to see the changes. You know, it just doesn't work. You got to hit Control sometimes and F5 at the same time to clear out the cache, but it's just sometimes it doesn't even work. So apologize to everybody that we had to go through all this last night, but that's outside of our control. It's just the enemy of souls doing what he's doing. But now we got a quick way of getting the audio out that almost matches perfectly with the text chat, so we're good. All right, so as most of us have already seen, being that we are Christians living in the last days, just about everyone we meet when it comes to strangers, they're pretty offensive towards Christians because I'm sure all of us, even myself, you know, and I know guys that are taller than me that say, yeah, they'll get in your face. It doesn't matter how big you are, you know, and so, and this comes from like the atheist or the homosexual and, of course, the Muslims and even the Hindus, you know, because they're out there killing Christians, beating them with canes and stuff in India. And this year, I don't know if I put it in my notes later, but I was just reminded of it now. Just the last 12 months alone, was it 20 million or 206 million? I think it was 206 or 260 million. I could numbers lock in, but sometimes they get fumbled in my mind. 260 million Christians have been persecuted in the last 12 months alone. Not killed, just persecuted. The killing is going to be around, you know, 250 to 350,000 Christians martyred every year. And so these people that do this against God's people, I mean, they were bound to be that way regardless. As their current mindset cannot agree with the love of God or even the truth as it is presented by him, because, and you can blame their parents for this. It's just like you saw back in the day when King David, and he messed up. He should have killed all the people that he was told to kill by the, because killing in war is not breaking commandment number 6. Commandment number 6, better translated today, would be thou shalt not murder. Because, you know, killing in war is different. And David was told to kill the men, the women, and the children because the curse was on their entire generations, because the Lord sees the end from the beginning. If the parents don't train the child up in the way it should go, the odds are against that child finding the way to go later in life, especially if the entire nation is set up like that. And so the odds are way against the children then, because they'll just grow up to be hateful against God. But praise the Lord, in the last days, you know, the nations are so scattered and all the, you know, immigration issues and stuff like that. You could break the mold in your own family like I did and my wife did, because I'm one of 11 kids. She's one of 5. And, none of them believe the way we do. They're all Catholic. Some of them had left the Catholic Church for another Catholic Church, only they changed the name of the church, like to Baptist or SDA or whatever. Well, none of them actually joined the SDA church, as I know, but in my family or my wife's family. But anyway, what amazes me the most is in all this is how patient and merciful our God is during all this. I mean, not just towards us when we sin, but towards those that show open hatreds towards the very God that loved them enough to not only create them and give them life and the chance to live for all eternity. He even died a torturous death so that they can be assured heaven if only they repent and accept his Son as Savior. That's why that still amazes me. If you had this opportunity, why would you pass it up? You know, when I think of these people that blaspheme and kill Christians, I'm reminded of Psalms 103 verse 8. Oh, here, let me change that to that page there for the stream. But yeah, Psalms 103, verse 8. Let's see, am I even in? Okay. It says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous of mercy. As a matter of fact, I was reading, where was it? I think it was Psalm 135 this morning. Let me just go there real quick. Psalm 135 was one of the chapters I ran through this morning. Well, strolled through. I don't run through scripture. I take my sweet time. I savor it like a good meal. So let me just see. No, it's not 135. It's not 135. Oh, man. I think it's one of theirs where it says, here it is. Praise his name. 136. It's just it's just 26 verses. And every verse ends with, for his mercy endureth forever. It's just amazing. It's just like a prophetic utterance on top. Well, it's not so much prophetic as it is acknowledging what he did in the past And then with each one, like, for example, verse 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And then verse 2 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever." And you just keep countless, verse 17, "To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever." I mean, every verse ends like that, and it's just overwhelmingly letting us know. I mean, how do you miss this kind of mercy is what the psalmist is saying. So think about that. They hate him so much that they will persecute and kill his people and then blaspheme his name with glee, yet he lets them live on their entire lifetime in most cases in the hopes that they'll snap out of it. You know, kind of like the rebellious son or daughter that shows hatred toward their parents, yet the love of their parent never fades. You know, I know this for a fact, as I was one that rebelled against my dad when I was a teenager because I got into rock music and, of course, the violent movies that planted all sorts of seeds of hate and violence deep in me. So the songs especially were very hateful towards parents. Worse yet, I knew it, and I didn't even care because the seed of rebellion was already planted. But my dad's love never waned. Sure, he didn't approve of my lifestyle, and we often had arguments about it, but I was usually the one doing the yelling. And then I found Christ one day. When the love of Christ came upon me, I realized true love for the first time. So my relationship with my wife, my children, and yes, even my dad, got much better because of the Lord God. His love is very real. And I must say, I praise the Lord for his love because had I not found his love, I never would have been able to show my love to my dad before he died. The guilt would have been off the chart to this day if I was unable to have that time with my dad. You know, because it's tough to lose a parent. I mean, I still have dreams about him, and it's been years since he's died. You know, I love that man so much that I'm just so glad. Let's just say I'm so glad I had that time with him. You know, with three or four times a week calling him up to say, "Hey, did you see this or that?" Because he was into technology like I am. But he never really, well, yeah, he got into it, but he never programmed or anything like that other than the stuff I showed him. But when we look around the world, we see hate everywhere now. I knew of this coming hate many years ago, and those that have seen my Christian hate page confirms that, this wasn't a hard prophecy to see coming to fruition. You know, I mean, it was obvious that's one of the older pages on the website. And then when they changed the way the stats were recorded by the U.S. government regarding the differences between race and religion, and they compiled them so they can have a massive number in the religiosity of people that gets, you know, the hatred towards Muslims, let's say, or Catholics or whatever that some people have. They put that in with race relations so as to make the issue that much larger. I go into big detail with the stats and everything on screen on the hate page. It was just so that they can do what they're doing now, to manipulate the mindset of the politics as well as the people running it. Still, as we know, it's going to get far worse than it is now, even, you know, though it's crazy now, because thanks to all those wolves out there, even the Christians who offer up lip service do not know the God of the Bible. 1 John 4:8, it says that he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So if you don't have that love, you know, it's just like with the Westboro Church. They were designed by Satan. That church was ran by a woman who was a lawyer, so she knew how to play the system. She went out there saying, "God hates this, this, this." It was just all making hate. It was crazy. She'd go to funerals of the military while their families out there saying, "Thank God for your dead son in the grave." You know, it's just disgusting what these people would do. And they did this to make Christians look bad. And it worked. That's what Catholicism did not 2,000 years. They lie about that. They started in 538, and even not even officially, because the Vatican was just the thought process going on at this point. But they made Catholicism made Christianity look so bad that Muslims to this day kill Christians, real ones, thinking, or even just Catholics, because they think Catholics are Christians. But they kill other Christians too because they think every Christian is a Catholic. When in fact they're not. Christians don't torture people and burn them alive at the stake or put them in the brazen bull or even the other crazy torture devices. But as obedient Bible-studying Christians, we know this loving God. And so reading from 1 John chapter 4, verses 12 to 21, we see, and that's 1 John 4, verses 12 to 21, we see why we are the way we are. It says this. Scroll up a little bit in my notes. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. You know, kind of like what 1 John 4, 8 just said. So if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. You know, the thought just came to mind here. He hath given us his Spirit. I think that's where the people that preach the Trinity of the Roman Catholic Church, even though they claim it's not the Trinity of the Roman Catholic Church, where they say the Holy Spirit is just the thought of the Father or the breath of the Father or something like that. That's right there. If they don't do the study, they kind of look at that and think that he's saying he sent his Spirit. So it's something in the Father. It's not something like the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit separate. But I got one question for him. And I would love it if they would answer this. And before answering it, please do this, because I know you're listening. Please answer this after you've studied it up. Who or what was the dove at the baptism of Christ? Because it really was a dove. It wasn't just a facsimile. It was an actual dove. So who was or what was that dove? And again, if you're going to email me, don't just give me your opinion. Give me Bible verses to back it up. And there's a reason I'm asking you to do it that way. Okay, so verse 15 says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. That's why I made that video years ago about if you have fear, you're not going to heaven. Now, don't take me out of context, because I know people are actually doing it right now. They're actually taking some of my statements on video and saying, you know, whatever. But it doesn't matter. What I mean is, if you, it's okay to have reverent fear of the Father. That's not what he's talking about here. The fear here is like you're fearful to go out and do the work of the Lord because you might get persecuted. Well, when that guillotine rolls out in front of you, yeah, you're going to get the mark of the beast. If you have the fear to walk away from the guillotine, which means you're walking away from Christ, if Christ says you have to die on the guillotine and you walk away, or any other method of, you know, like whatever, however they decide to kill you, if you walk away, then you don't have the love of God in you, because fear hath torment. Fear comes from Satan, is whatever I'm trying to get at. And fear does not cometh from our God. He does not, you know, give us that kind of fear to his children. Sure, the wicked fear him like all sorts of craziness. I mean, they really fear our God big time. That's why they're doing everything they can to try to pull people away from the Lord, because they know. I mean, Satan knows. I mean, like when you're in temptation, you say, get thee hence, Satan, you know, in Jesus' name. Yeah, he doesn't just wander off. He flees, the Bible says. And so if he's that fearful of us when we proclaim faith in our Lord, imagine what the powers that be are. I mean, this is why they set up the attack as they did. The elite set up the attack as they did in the early years of the United States of America. Because every time they attacked us, our forefathers, they failed miserably, and so they figured the only way to get at these people is to get them away from their God. So they just infiltrated the nation and invented everything from Hollywood to Disneyland and Christmas, everything like that. And it was really difficult for them to get the Christmas thing going, because everybody that came over on the Mayflower especially, and everybody that just came and escaped Roman rule, the Catholic Church killing people, they knew Catholicism, and they knew about Christmas, and it was all paganism. And they knew if you denied it, they'd kill you for it, as long as, you know, just like if you denied their doctrines and stuff. So Christmas was not very easy for them to, that's why they made the movies like But it's a historic movie, even though some people think it's just fiction. But the Scrooge or the Grinch that stole Christmas, it's a true story. But a lot of people, you know, don't realize it. The Grinch is you and me. That's right. The Grinch are the real believers, or our forefathers in the beginning of this nation, and all the people that were keeping Christmas are all the Catholics. And eventually they wore down his heart of stone at the end of the movie, if you remember, and they brought Scrooge, or the Grinch, into accepting Christmas and started giving out gifts like everybody else. That's historically accurate. That's exactly how Rome manipulated the Protestant churches in America to get them to embrace paganism again. And so, just pulling on people's heartstrings, sending a bunch of Catholics over here from wherever they came from with the instructions, especially if they were Jesuits, to not act like Catholics, but slowly but surely bring, you know, the paganism in with smiles and love and gentleness and hugs and kisses and candy bars and hot cross buns or whatever. Anyway, verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Yeah, that's one of my favorites. Anyway, 20 says, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? A lot of people get confused about that, but think about it. If you have the love of God in you, and you look at your brother, even if he hates you, you still love him, proving he's in you. The Lord is in you. The Holy Spirit is in there. But if you hate him, your brother, for whatever reason, you can't forgive them or something, or your sister, you know, whatever case, brother, sister, it doesn't matter. If you do not forgive, then Christ literally says in the scriptures, he cannot forgive you either. Because if you don't do as he does, then, you know, it's not going to end well with you. And then finally, verse 21 says, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loved God love his brother also. So the wolves on the pulpits today have done their work for Satan in amazing ways. I mean, these many false prophets have turned the hearts of the people away from their God. And this is why so many embrace sin, which in turn allows Satan, you know, to get deeper into the heart. And we all know how Satan is the exact opposite of love. In fact, Jesus prophesied this in Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verses 11 and 12. Verses 11 and 12. Let's see where we're at here. Hold on while I'm... Okay, verses 11 and 12. Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You know, I'm even thinking, and I've been thinking about this for over a year, to actually build a website all about the love of many shall wax cold, because I don't know how many, you know, articles. I just came across one the other day, too. I was thinking, man, this would have been a good page. But I'm updating so many pages now 3 days a week that it's getting to the point where I don't know if I'm going to make this page, because it's just, oh, man, the updates I do, it takes 8 to 9 hours sometimes, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And I got so many other things going on now for the Lord, you know, the work. But the many false prophets here, I did a video on this. A lot of people wonder, says, oh, yeah, I know there's a few false prophets here or there, you know, but many? Well, there's actually millions. And people think, whoa, what do you mean millions? Well, the way you define a prophet is there's two ways, a false prophet or a real prophet. The real prophet is going to, for example, the Bible started out five books. Started out as five books, the Torah. And then it grew to 66 books because of the thus saith the Lord, new light. New light never contradicts old light, and so when they hear someone prophesy saying that the Lord said to do this or do that in that way or this way, and then they double check it with the light they've already gotten out of the Torah or sixth book or the seventh book, you know, because it eventually grew to 66 books, right? And so when they get the information from the prophet and it matches the old light and even exemplifies and glorifies and brings fuller understanding to it, well, then that's considered doctrine, and it's placed in the Bible, and that's how it grew to 66 books. But when a prophet says something that he said came from the Lord, and it doesn't match with that which is written in any way, shape, or form, unless you go out of context in a bunch of areas, but there's just way too many here a little, there a little, precept upon precept, and, you know, all that stuff. And when that happens, then he's declared a false prophet. And a good example of that is the millions of Sunday-keeping pastors. They're all over the world. Millions of Sunday-keeping pastors are all false prophets because they all say that the Sabbath was changed to Sunday, as well as every single solitary Sunday-keeping, well, they're all Sunday-keeping priests. And all the pastors in the SDA church now are considered false prophets for the Sunday-keeping thing, too, because now they're all in agreement. They haven't left the SDA church. They're all in agreement with their general conference that's got dozens of Sunday-keeping churches. So they're not, now they're in the bunch, too, now. And so how does that make them all false prophets? Well, they're all saying that God changed the Sabbath from the seventh day of the week to the first day of the week because Jesus resurrected on that date, even though no one kind of like wants to answer the question when you say, well, then if that's the case, how come Easter's date changes every year? Because if it's about the real death and resurrection of Christ, why does the date keep changing? Well, if they're honest, a Catholic priest or a pagan will tell you the reason the date changes is because the Easter is based on the first full moon of spring. After you see that first full moon, the next Sunday will be Easter. Because it's paganism. It has nothing to do with the death and resurrection of Christ, right? And so all these guys are out there saying that God said he changed the Sabbath to Sunday. But yet there's not a single Bible verse from Genesis to Revelation. I got a page on the website. I'd give you $5,000 if you can come up with that verse. Cash. But it's not there. So it's kind of like a trick question. Well, it is a trick question because you're not going to find the verse. It's just not there. And so all those pastors that say God changed Sunday, the Sabbath to Sunday are, in fact, dyed-in-the-wool, biblically defined as false prophets. So there's millions of them, and so the prophecy was fulfilled that Jesus said in Matthew 24. Still, even with all this hate running rampant all over the world, our God is still doing all he can to reach out to these precious souls that he created and died for. Psalms 86:15 says, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." Yet Rome and all that follow her sinful lead declare God places people in hellfire to live for all eternity, even though there's not a single Bible verse to back that one up either. And again, you've got millions more false prophets who say that you live for all eternity in hellfire, screaming at the top of your lungs. No, God, the God of mercy, doesn't do that. He does have a strange act that he does. It's called a strange work and a strange act at the end of the 1,000 years. That's hellfire. But how does it all end up? Look at the book of Amos or Micah. You walk on the ashes of the dead. They turn into ashes. He's merciful enough to let them burn till they're gone. You know, most of the people are just going to be like that, gone, fast, just like a flash. But Satan and his demons and, of course, the popes and the people and the Muslims that were killing Christians, they're going to burn a little longer, especially Satan, because they got a lot more things to burn for. But most people are just going to just like a vapor, the Bible calls them, because our life is actually a vapor, especially if you die at the end of the 1,000 years. In comparison to eternity, that's a vapor. Yeah, because especially, in other words, we'll talk about this in a few trillion years. And yes, we will. And we'll remember this perfectly this day. Why? Because we'll have a glorified body with a brain that works the way it should. And so you're going to remember exactly what we were talking about today on November 21st, 2020, at about 1:29 in the afternoon on a Sabbath day. You're going to remember this perfectly with perfect photographic memory because your brain works the way it should. Yeah, Malachi, that's where it is. "And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be as ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts." But nobody reads Bibles. They only read priests or pastors. And so the priest and the pastor says, "Oh, no, no, you're going to burn for all eternity screaming at the top of your lungs." Because God hates you that much. That's the definition of Satan. He's the God of hate. The God of love doesn't even do that. Even in his strange act, he shows mercy by letting them burn all of them up to just nothing, to where we walk on their ashes. And so we'll pick it up there next week because, as a matter of fact, I'm going to backtrack a little bit. I'm going to start in regards to where I was talking about the wolves that have been doing their work on the pulpits. I might even mention them, the many false prophets again, you know, because it's important. It should be repeated. So I'm going to drop it here, and I'll be back in a moment. Hope and pray you're blessed.